few years ago, I introduced to us, well, some of you had already seen the books and so on, but books like Already Gone and another one. And the final one in that series, I'm not going to deal with tonight by any means, but was called Ready to Return. It had to do with the departure of a lot of young people from churches, including the Church of Christ. There were statistics in those books that had to do with how many young people we're losing and why. It hasn't really gotten any better. In the intervening years since we went through that study, it hasn't really gotten any better. And the percentages of people of different ages, including adults, who seem to really have a belief in God, continues to decrease. And it's not good. And of late, we have had several young people baptized here. I don't want to lose those kids, those young people. I don't want to see us lose them because their faith is not as strong as we could make sure it is, or do everything we can to make sure it is. So for the next few weeks, I would like to discuss a few topics. And if I get all the technology to work right. Let's see. How lucky am I? Not very. Oh, now they come with switches. Okay. Hey, here we go. All right. Why this study and why now? Not only the kids, but adults too, depending on conversations you get into, you're going to find yourselves getting bullied. They will try to bully you because you'll say something like, well, I believe the Bible. And they're going to say, oh, that book of fables, you really believe in that? Well, in a subsequent lesson, we're going to talk about the Bible, whether it's really a book of fables or not. And I think I can show you, no, it's not. But we, as parents, have to be able to bully-proof our kids. We have to teach them enough that they can stand up and say, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I don't buy it, and here's why. And there are some simple things. They better be simple because I'm a simple kind of guy. You're going to see on the next slide, I am not a scientist, so you're not going to hear scientific from me, not much. Only as far as I can understand, it's like walking out into the water. How far are you going to go? As far as I can breathe, and that's it. That's about it. So when I get beyond my breathing point, you're going to hear it from somebody else. But there are some things I would like to discuss, and tonight we'll start. I don't know that we'll finish, but tonight I would like us to start with reasons to believe in God. They're really pretty simple, but as we go through the weeks, we're going to build on those and put some more detail to them. And then I want to talk about the fifth word in the Bible, because you've seen the first four words of the Bible on screen already. The fifth word we'll talk about. And then I want us to understand God's sovereignty. It sounds like a foreign term to a lot of people, but I think by the time we finish that discussion, we're going to know what sovereignty is and what it means that we owe God and why. We'll talk about why we can believe the Bible is God's word and not some book of fables. And I hope we can convince our kids that, hey, don't take that line from them. It's just not true. Then I want to talk about Jesus. It's only going to be a precursor to what we'll be studying in the 17 periods. Probably, what was it, November we start, or November or February we start that. November, I think we do the first part of it. And then in February, we'll pick up the rest of it. But there will be two quarters in the 17 periods regarding the life of Christ. And this will just be a little bit of a precursor on that. And then finally, if time permits, I don't know how many weeks I'm going to get or how long we're going to take, but I would like to address a few things in terms of, does legal mean they're lawful. There are many things that are legal that are not lawful in God's eyes. And the problem is, to put it all back in the same perspective here, the problem is our kids and many of our young adults have been brought up in an era where these things are legal. You know, I can remember, and there are at least a couple of you who are as old or maybe a year or two older than I am, who can remember stores didn't open on Sunday. Alcohol was not sold in grocery stores. A lot of things were a lot different a few decades ago. Now, I'm happy for all the technological and the medical advances and so on, so I'm not saying, let's go back to that. But maybe in some things it would be good to, for at least a group of people to say, you know what, some of those old paths, scriptural term, did have merit, do have merit. Now, this is a comment. I'm sure all of you have heard it at some time or other, and I heard it from a man down in Albuquerque when we were worshiping down there, when I was assigned down there. And what the man said was, after discussing some point, he said, well, the Bible says it, I believe it, and that's all there is to it. Well, that might be okay for him. But is that really all there is to it? Aren't we told that we are to be ready to give answers? And I think most of the people that we're ever going to discuss these sorts of things with deserve more of an answer than, well, the Bible says it, I believe it, and that's all there is to it. What if you said that to your kids? When they come home from school and they say, they told us at school that all the life that's around us now came out of some puddle someplace. And you're going to say, no, 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 God created. That's what the Bible says, I believe it, and that's all there is to it. Is that an answer for your kids? Is that an answer for somebody who is really asking a question seriously of you? Think about it. Let's be ready to give answers. I know the passage says, for the hope that's within us and so on. But understanding what God really said is the reason for our hope. What God said and his plan and so on. Okay, so you know where I stand in this class, besides right up here for now. We're going to get fixed to where I can walk, right? Thank you. I don't want to lose anybody. I'll be content to wait till next week. Tonight's largely introductory. There'll be some more detail coming out as we get into these things. I am not a scientist, so don't expect scientific discussion from me. I might use a term or two, but I will not be the expert about science. It was not my favorite subject in high school or any place else. Just not for me. Is it yours? Well, then, good. We have a scientist. We're going to keep it, as far as I'm concerned, and from my part here, it's going to be at a practical level. I want something that parents and children can understand. Going to have some assumptions here. One of them is that God does exist, that he has existed, that he created the universe, that he is the sovereign authority, that he has all power, and that he has revealed himself through his Son and through his Word. Those assumptions make sense to everybody? I need some participation here. If it's nothing more than north-south, let's have it. Those assumptions make sense. Okay. Anybody have any trouble with any of them? Good. Further, we're going to assume that his word can be understood and logically explains our existence, our purpose, and so on. Okay? Did everybody get the handout? The five sheets? Some of you came in with two and said, I got it. No, you only had part of it. Everybody have the five-sheet handout. If you don't, there are a few left. You know, pretty frequently when Randy at least leads a prayer, he will have something in the prayer regarding through his word and so on, and the teaching we get, we can understand God's purpose for us, his plan for us. I don't know if I put purpose on that list of words that I want you to watch for throughout these next several weeks, but do keep it in mind, as purpose is going to be important. I think it's the last part here, last line. Other explanations or theories regarding how all this happened, how we got here, are not the truth. And they are not what is revealed in God's word. So let's focus. Let's make the first criteria understanding what God's word says about that fifth word in a couple of weeks. But we're going to just talk tonight about why to believe in God. Yes, sir.
One verse that comes to mind to substantiate what you're saying comes out of Romans, the first chapter, in verse 18. It says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal purpose and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Although they knew God, they did not glorify him." So there are things that God reveals just in the world that we live in that are outside of the mind, as you're pointing out.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else have another verse? If you're going to come up with them, because I can only put so many in an evening or on the paper. So if you think of another one, great, share it. That's how we learn. It's not all from up here. You know, some people can get up here and do it all. Not me. I need some help. So, help. But thank you, Rob. Okay, some preliminaries. Let's define a couple of terms that are going to be important as we go through these things. And now that you have the other three sheets, you'll find an area with some blanks that you might want to fill in. Worldview defined. A core set of values and principles through which the world is understood. A compilation of an individual's perception of the world. Presuppositions that often bias reasoning. That's what a worldview is. How do you generally look at things that happen in the world? What's your basic set of core values, the principles? That didn't come out very big, did it? We'll work on that. I see Molly squinting. Does everybody understand, at least roughly, what worldview is? How do you generally look at stuff? Okay? I'll wait until most of you have finished writing, and then we'll go on. If I were to tell you, and you'd see it on the next line anyway, that there are two major worldviews, what might you think they would be? Or what would you think they might be? Right and wrong? No, not quite.
In this context, maybe creation and evolution.
Okay, but we're going to go a little bit broader than that. That's certainly one application of them. Let's go with theistic and atheistic. Theistic, obviously, would be the one that is centered on God. So what do you think atheistic might be? When you put an A in front of a lot of words, what does it mean?
Not.
So next one is not theistic. Oh, atheistic. And it's also sometimes called naturalistic. So Randy, I think I'll put you on the spot for a minute. If you don't want it, don't do it. Don't do it. Just say so. I've heard you use the term worldview. What's your explanation of these two, just in other terms than this? How does it affect your day-to-day, shall we say?
Well, you know, I think in general people have a gut view. You know, they may not know where it comes from, but they have an overall impression of how things are. And, you know, just having finished in public education, you know, they immediately think of all the things that they've heard in science. And as a result of that, they will say that science is something that's provable, and survival is the opposite, and it's just ideas. And I will point out to them, well, you know, based on the world view, because if we go to the Grand Canyon, all you see is a bunch of layers of rocks. All that is evidence. Now, your worldview is there's no God, it all just happened by accident, and this happened over billions of years. But there's no labels up there. My worldview is I look at this huge layer of a certain type of rock that's over all the United States, and I think that was laid down in the flood. So everything we look at is based on the worldview that we begin with.
Okay. I could just jump off my paper for a step away from my paper. It'd be easier, I guess. But let's just talk about that for a minute. There are two possibilities of worldview, two basic ones. Randy's discussed one here, and he's just hit at both of them. But which one really makes more sense? Does it make more sense to believe that everything we see, everything that is created, just happened to happen, or that it was carefully planned and created by a supernatural power, God, who moved said cause it to be? And he did it with the purpose of making a place for us. Now, which one would you rather try to explain to your kids? That here is this loving God, an all-powerful God, who was able to just speak and this happened. And yes, we don't understand that kind of power, but we can certainly come to believe in it. Is it easier to explain that to your child and then build on more things as we go and expect the child to believe it? Isn't that easier than saying, well, there was this great big bowl of pudding, and out of that pudding came something which years later became something else? Which is going to be easier for you as a parent? Just take it down to simple. Which is easier? Which makes more sense? Finally, but first, which one agrees with the Bible again? What's the Bible say? In the beginning, God created. And we're going to get to that. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here. Jerry.
Funny thing about worldviews is they always make the most sense to the person who holds it.
Oh, yeah.
So you ask that question, and everybody who says in evolution, well, of course that makes the most sense. Everybody who believes in creation says, of course that makes the most sense. And while I understand what you're saying with easiest doesn't make true. It's not about which one's easiest. It's about which one's right. And in this case, it's really which one is most consistent with itself.
Yep.
So the worldview of atheism has some rules that it breaks.
Oh, yeah.
Rules like life doesn't come from non-life.
We're getting there. We're getting there.
Order doesn't come from disorder. I know you're going to get into those things, but the thing is it's not just which one's easier. It's which one is being honest,
okay,
and following the truth.
When I say easier in this context tonight, yeah, I'm talking about when we're trying to deal with the little kids. Because that's where it's got to start. It's got to start with these kids when they're little, not when they're 10, 15. Yes, ma'am?
They say that there's about 7% of the world that is an atheist. So they are an extreme minority. Even if they're a little bit off, 90% of the people in the world believe there's some supernatural power. To me, that is evidence of God as well, because I think humans are made by God to desire God. And to know that humans, that atheists are such a small portion, but get such a huge place in our society is odd.
Yeah. We're probably going to differ on statistics, but your point is taken. Everybody get everything written down they wanted to from this slide? Molly, you're good? Okay. Now, some of the comments that have been almost said here. One of the notable atheists out here has said, even if there were a 900-foot Jesus and he had a voice, and he gave the name of somebody he knows of that I don't, but my equivalent thinking was, if he had James Earl Jones' voice, if he had a voice like that, and he was 900 feet tall, and he said, I am Jesus, I am alive, I did these things, and so on and so on, he said, I still wouldn't believe it. Now, that's to Jared's point, that depending on which worldview you take, you're just going to take it. And we are not going to be able to convince everybody. Another person said, well, if I could just see Jesus, if he were here now, and I could see him do a miracle, and I could see him heal somebody, and I could hear him speak, then I'd believe in him. Well, what's wrong with that? Didn't it already happen? Hasn't it been recorded? And the question that begs for me, when I read that comment, I said, well, that's a pretty selfish view. What about the people 50 or 100 years from now? They're going to say the same thing, and you're going to be standing there, well, depending on how old you are, you're going to be standing there saying, but I saw it. We've already got a whole group of people who saw it and who wrote it down for us.
Rich man and Lazarus is the...
Exactly.
No matter what, you're going to have people who will doubt. And that's where faith has to play a part in all of this.
And we'll probably talk about faith and different elements in faith as the weeks go on. But like I said earlier on, my focus is us and our kids.
Amen.
Let's take care of these kids. Start early when they are little and something is easier to explain. Yeah, you're going to get into the difficult parts later on. But start with the Bible, with what it says, and instill in the kids that this is what matters. What it says in here is what matters. I gave you a whole bunch of passages to look up. I hope you did, and if you didn't, take the chance, take the time to look them up. Yes, sir. You were being pointed at, so I know you want to say something.
I wasn't sure if I wanted to say it after all. Keeping our children away from the world isn't necessarily the answer. Building hedges or fences around our children is not necessarily the answer. Okay. Case in point, I know you're going to get to it, creation versus evolution. I've had a lot of discussions, particularly when my children were young, and they were going through school, and they were learning the theory of evolution. And my comment was, bring it on.
Okay.
The more you know about evolution, the better you can defend creation. And sometimes we forget that. And science is not contrary to God's word.
Exactly.
How we interpret science may sometimes be in violation of God's word. There is many, many internal examples of the Bible of things that was known. The water cycle, bacteria, blood was all known in the Bible.
Yep.
Centuries before it was ever really proven by science, if you will.
Yep. Just in basic terms, simple explanations, some reasons to believe in God. First one is matter. I missed something over
it's
there.
Small.
Oh, yeah, well.
Small.
Well, we'll well, that'll come along in a few weeks. That'll come along. I'm not going to jump ahead too much and say, but they think they will try to tell us that there was this real small amount of matter that blew up and became real big. I'm not going to go there. Okay? But because matter exists, what does that mean? Is it in the notes I sent you? Is there a statement in there or something? Oh, yeah. Okay, quickly then. Where did matter come from? Let me jump ahead and see if it's... I'll come back to that. Nope. I know everybody wants to talk about that turtle. Okay, matter. Where to come from? What would matter require? For matter to exist, what must be? Can it just come from nothing?
No, it's not our experience.
There would have to be something, someone, to cause it. Okay? I think somewhere in your notes you've got the drawn out explanation. The law of cause and effect demands that every material effect must have a cause that came before it or was simultaneous to it and is greater than it. I like to watch fights. Professional, well, you know, boxing kind of thing. And I can usually tell when somebody's head snaps back, that's an effect, but there was a cause. And it was usually a fist. Cause and effect. You put certain ingredients together and you get some other food. I'm not the chef in our house, believe me. I can do it on the grill, that's it. It's already got to be prepared. Cause and effect. Matter had to have a maker. So the fact that there is matter in the universe means that there was a maker. We'll deal with this more later, but the alternative view is that... it just happened to come along. Really? It happened to come along. There happened to be a little bit of it that became a lot of it. We'll deal with it a little bit more later. The next one is life itself. I think, yep. Where did life come from? Several years ago, you know, we built our house over there in Stetson Hills. We put some river rock. And there was one particular rock that I pulled out of all that rock. Because it's kind of heart-shaped, but it had a little hole in it for some reason. I've watched that rock for a long time. I've taken it and held it from time to time. And you know that rock is still just a rock. And I remember years ago when people had pet rocks. And they'd talk to them and they'd take them places and so on. But they were still just rocks. Did any one of them ever, from somebody's pocket, say, hey, where are we going today? No. They don't exhibit any sign of life. To have life, there must have been a life giver. What does the Bible say? God did what? God breathed into
So
language, and this would fall into that consistency of the worldview. If we take this worldview that says life comes from non-life,
yeah,
you would expect scientists to constantly be looking for life to be just happening, but they don't, because it doesn't. They're not looking for life everywhere. They study the life that is. They try to figure out how it happened, right, but they're not constantly looking everywhere for the rock to suddenly become alive or for anything else for that.
Yeah, and that's one thing they'll say about the theory of evolution. It does not account for the beginning so much as it accounts for life once it was here. We'll discuss that as little as we have to. Design. I put some examples here. I'm married to a quilter, and I know she's very careful about putting things together. She'll see the design, and she'll do it just right. Architects, if Ryan were here, I'd pick on him about building bridges. Vehicles. Did you ever try to pick up a whole pile of dirt with a 63 Rambler? What kind of vehicle do you use when you want to move a pile of dirt? Bulldozer. Yeah. Something that's got a scoop on it. Okay? So there we have design with purpose, or purpose for the design. Just keep it in mind. We're not going to go real deep on it tonight. But then this picture comes along. You see a turtle on a fence post. Does it make you wonder anything?
Who put it there?
Who put it there? Now, I did the research because I didn't want to put something up here that I was going to get beaten up about. Turtles can do a little bit of vertical climbing. They can. And I saw pictures of turtles climbing chain link fences, going vertical. Okay, but that's because they can grip. But when you have a turtle of a pretty ample size trying to go up a narrow pole, and you think of if it were a metal pole, it's impossible. So the question is, and this is right, who put it there? Who figured that turtle needs to be on top of that pole? That turtle didn't get on that pole by itself. Somebody did it. Somebody designed, had a reason of some sort, probably just to baffle people. You know, I know we can go down a lot of highways and we can look out in the fields and we can see old trucks put up on poles. There are places in, many places in West Virginia where for some reason or other they have put vehicles up on top of poles on top of buildings. Okay, maybe they sold cars in there once upon a time, but hey, didn't get there by itself. It was somebody designed. Somebody acted on it. What other notes do I have? Oh, obvious design around us. Yeah, we got that. But just consider what's probably the most complicated design around.
Humans.
Okay. And within the human, I'm not a computer whiz, but some people code, right? What code do we have? DNA. I forget. I can read it again and get it. Is it 32? Whatever it is. 32 of these. Anyway. 64 elements. Some phenomenal number. Huh?
23 chromosomes?
Yeah, whatever. I told you, I'm not a scientist. Okay? But that DNA is really complicated. How many crimes are you finding out now? Oh, they've solved them because of DNA, because of advances with it. That must be some pretty technical, complicated, well-designed coding. But it just happened, right? Intelligence. What did God say? Let us make man in
our image.
Our image. And what did that mean? God's a spirit. It's not a matter of our looking like him. What is it? I'm hearing the mind. What else?
In that context
is what?
Dominion, it's rule.
Okay. But in order to do that, what must we have? When God created Adam, he gave him some things to do. What did he have to do?
Tend the garden.
Tend the garden. A little bit later, he had to do?
Name the animals.
Name the animals. Where did he get that? You know, there are people out there who say, oh, man was created, man, no, man came into being as some kind of primitive, dull-witted nincompoop. Well, God said, I want you to take care of this garden, and I want you to name all the animals. You might recall when Kenny was here several years ago, he referred to Adam as being born with, or being created with, a PhD. Think it through. Adam was an intelligent person. Eve showed some faulty but reasoning skills when she was tempted and convinced, hey, you ought to try that. You know, she reasoned this thing out. Well, he says I'm not going to die. It sure looks good. Yeah, I'll give it a try. Bad reasoning, but it was reasoning. And we're out of time. We're going to pick this up. Do take some time to look at these sheets. Depending on when you got here and all that, you either have 5 or 7 sheets. Four of them would be duplicates. But do take a look at them. We've had some good discussion tonight, and I would like to see that continue. Participation is important here because you're going to have to participate with your kids in this. Yes? I've got 5 more minutes. I've got 2 more minutes, and we're going to have the final prayer. I think Jared does it, and I'll tell you why. For those who are sitting at the back, once the kids start coming up the steps, you're not going to hear much. So we're going to say a prayer. Jared's got the prayer, right? Jared's going to lead that prayer before that. So for the next 2 minutes, what's up here? Ah, here it is. I better have to remember to turn this thing off too, don't I? Morality. Where did Adam and Eve get the idea? Uh-oh, we blew it. Wonder where they got that idea. Would it have happened without there having been created in the image of God? If they had just rolled out of this bowl of pudding and developed and so on and so on, where would conscience come from? Where would a sense of right and wrong come from? It's too long a thing to get into right now, but just consider, over the next week, just think about it. Everybody heard the Beatles song, Imagine? And a lot of people think, boy, that's just a wonderful song. It is not. It's not. You might like the rhythm or something like that, however that used to go in American Bandstand. You might like the way the music went, but listen to the words. It's not a good thing. Imagine, above us only sky. No hell below us. Really? Really? Think about it. Listen to it, but don't get hooked on it. But understand why I'm saying that. And then final thought to think about during the week. If you discount the Genesis account of things, and we'll be looking at it a lot more. If you discount that, what else will you discount? What else in God's word will you discount? If you can just say, hey, I'm not going to buy that. And a lot of people who tout themselves as Christians do discount a lot of Genesis.
They'll say, yeah, God did it, but he did it through evolution or whatever. No. My 2 minutes are up, right? Seriously, I thank you for your participation. I hope it continues. And Jared will now dismiss us. Would the kids run up the steps?
Let's pray.